Would you turn, please, to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. With God's Word open at that place, let's bow together in prayer again, please. We thank you, Lord, that we can be sure that when we die, we'll go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus. We can be sure. We rejoice in that. We remember that John wrote in his epistle, "These things are written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." We remember as Paul was about to be martyred, he wrote, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And grant that every one of us in this room and in other rooms here tonight will have that assurance as well. May we want it. May we want to know for sure that we're going to heaven. May we not be apathetic about it. May we not be indifferent. Give us soul concern tonight. Smite the stoutest sinner through. Start the cry, "What must I do?" Make men weep till born anew through the Lamb. Give help to the preacher now. He needs thee. And grant the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the gospel be preached with unmistakable clarity, authority, and power. And may there be that response to it that will be well-pleasing in thy sight and for the eternal welfare and betterment of all who hear. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about some words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he spoke in the synagogue of Capernaum. What we read earlier in the meeting from John chapter 6 took place in the synagogue, as a reading of a later verse in that chapter so indicates. The verse and the words that I want to draw your attention to are found in verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." These are among the most instructive and the most encouraging words that the Lord Jesus ever spoke. In fact, they comprise a mighty statement, and we want to give due consideration to it tonight. There are a number of things in the statement of great significance and importance, and I want to draw your attention to them. The first one is, what a mystery there is here. What a mystery. All that the Father giveth me. I wonder what your thoughts were whenever we read those words earlier tonight, or as you may have thought about them on an occasion gone by. There are people, according to the Lord Jesus Christ here, who are said to be given to him by the Father. Now, this is not just a statement that stands alone by itself. It's inextricably linked to the words that come behind it that we know so well and would quote so often, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." But those words are linked to the words that we are looking at now. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And neither do they stand alone with regard to other verses. I said this morning, and when I was preaching from John 17, we would notice something about this. In John chapter 17, on seven occasions, we have noticed, at least whenever we read it last week, we have noticed that the Lord Jesus, when he is talking to his heavenly Father, speaks to his heavenly Father about those people whom the heavenly Father gave him. I just want to read one or two of them. For instance, in John 17, verse 2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." There's the first of the seven. And if you look at number 6, verse number 6, you'll find it's mentioned twice. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." Thine they were. "And thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." seven times in John chapter 17. And then in the 18th chapter, we have it on another occasion in verse 9, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Now what about this remarkable statement? You might have questions already raised in your mind about the ramifications of this. For instance, how were they given? In what way were they given? Well, the Bible makes it very plain that they were given by sovereign choice. And this verse, by the way, that we are looking at tonight, John 6, verse 37, gives us two aspects of the one truth: God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Big problem is, in our modern day society, we tend to put, and I'm speaking now about it in evangelicalism, we tend to be off balance. We put all the emphasis on man's responsibility and forget about God's sovereignty. Or if we're hyper-reformed, we go to the other extreme and put all the emphasis on God's sovereignty and forget that man is a responsible being. But these people were given by God's sovereign choice. For instance, in John chapter 15 and verse 16, the Lord Jesus says to the disciples there, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now we know that we must choose Christ. We've got to. Choose ye this day him you will serve. What shall I do then with Jesus which is called Christ? It's our responsibility to choose. But God's choosing comes first. For instance, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we read most challenging and instructive words that I want to bring before you now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. So, these people that have been given to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father, it's a multitude that no man can number, by the way. It's a vast number. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we are told that they were given to him from before the foundation of the world. What a verse. Again, I must read it to you so that you'll get the full import of this. Paul writing to the believers, expressing in this first chapter all that they have in Christ, says this in verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, the mystery lies in this in part. Raises the question, am I one of those who has been given to Christ? Thank God every Christian in this room tonight and throughout the world in all ages can say, yes, I have been given to Christ. How would we know it? We'll come to that in a moment. You might be concerned about your soul tonight, and you might be saying, well, am I one of these ones given to Christ? You can know it as well. And that's where our responsibility comes in. But this is the first thing I want you to notice. What a mystery here, where the Lord Jesus Christ said to that crowd at Capernaum Synagogue that day, who were not entirely in sympathy with him. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. What a mystery is in this statement. But notice secondly, what a company is here. All that the Father giveth me. All. Before the flood in Noah's day, while the world was destroyed at that particular time and there were only eight just people in it, Noah, his wife, their three sons and their wives, yet before that, in the long periods of time before that, there were many godly people. From the flood to the days of Moses, there's another part of the all. Multitudes upon multitudes. From the days of Moses to David. From the days of David to Malachi. From the days of Malachi to John the Baptist, hundreds, thousands of years have gone by. From the days of John the Baptist to now, millions upon millions all over the world in all lands. They are people that make up this vast company that God has given to His Son. Right up to now, and from now to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, and according to Revelation chapter 7, at that time of the tribulation period, preceding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a multitude that no man could number will come out of that great tribulation, according to these verses in Revelation 7. What a throng! And whenever God was telling Abraham that he would have a seed, numerously he described them as greater than the stars in the sky for number, and greater for number than the sand of the seashore. All. What a company. But as we look at this verse, we notice, thirdly, what a certainty there is here. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All of those that have been chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, they will one day, one time, eventually, come to Him. Now, think about this for a moment. They may be from different circumstances and backgrounds. For instance, some of them come whenever they're young. They come in Sunday school. They come in children's meeting. They even come in church services. Some of them come who are quite wealthy. Others come who are nothing short of being paupers. Other people come who are well educated and refined and cultured. Others come who are illiterate, who are not educated, who are ignorant. Some people come who are very religious. Other people come who have no religion at all. And then there are those people who want to work their way to heaven. They want to pay their way to heaven. They want to do it themselves. They don't want to have any regard to the Almighty at all. They want to bypass the gospel message. And they waken up to realize that salvation is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And eventually they come. And then there are other people, and they're not one bit concerned about self-righteousness. They don't even worry whether they're good or bad until the Spirit of God wakens them up and the gospel is presented to them, and eventually they come too. Notice what the Lord is saying. He says, they will come certainly. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And notice they come to Him. They will learn of Him. They will hear that message that Christ died for the ungodly. They will hear that the Son of God became man and dwelt among us. That He went to the cross at Calvary. That He was nailed to the cross. He was bearing the sins of sinners. That He shed His precious blood to atone for sin. That He was made the curse for us. That He suffered the wrath and the judgment of God in order to keep sinners out of hell. They will hear that message. It may not register with them at the time. It may not have any great conviction with them at the time. But sooner or later, they will come. And they will come to Him. They will see that salvation is not in anything else. They will realize that sacraments now count for nothing as far as salvation is concerned. They will see that religion is useless to save a man's soul. They will see Christ and Him crucified, the Lord of glory, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the lost. And the Lord Jesus said, those that have been given to the Son before the foundation of the world, they will come. And they will come because they'll be drawn. Listen to what we read in John 12 and 31. The Lord Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. And my dear friend, this is the answer to your question if you're asking it. If you're asking it, am I given to Christ then from before the foundation of the world? The way that you'll know is if you'll come to Him. That's the only way that any of us can know. If you come to Him, the Lord Jesus says, the one chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world will come to Him eventually. And that's a tremendous message. And such, when they come to Him, will be saved. That's an absolute certainty. What a mystery here. Those that the Father hath given to the Son. What a company, all believers in all ages. What a certainty. They will definitely come. Do you remember that verse in Hebrews chapter 12 where it says that the Lord Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross and despised the shame. What joy? The joy of knowing that those whom the Father had given Him, for whom He was dying on the cross, would come to Him eventually. That's the joy. And He endured the cross at Calvary, even though He was in anguish, even though He was battling with the devil. He knew that a seed would serve Him, as one of the Psalms says. But there's something else of great importance to notice. We've seen the mystery. We have seen the company. We have seen the certainty that they're going to come. But that brings us here in the fourth place to the responsibility. Now the second part of the verse. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The responsibility is that you have got to come. You cannot be saved without coming to Christ. Nobody can. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. He's focusing now on man's responsibility. And if you're wondering if you're one of the chosen, if you have been given to Christ from before the foundation of the world, here's the way you answer it: by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you come, it's as simple as that. And that's where your responsibility comes in. If you come, then you'll be able to know for sure that you're one of those of whom Christ speaks. But you must come. You must come, first of all, even though your knowledge may not be full or mature. None of us knows it all, and many of us are many years in the Christian life. And certainly none of us knows it all at the beginning. All we need to know is that we are great sinners, and that there's a great Savior called Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross, and who has said that He'll save any sinner that comes to Him. That's all we know. Oh, men and women and young people tonight, this is your responsibility. You have got to come. You've got to come even though your knowledge is not full or mature. Your responsibility is to come even though you may think yourself undeserving or too bad. And many times have people said, well, I would like to be saved, but I don't think that I could be saved because I'm too bad. Well, they never got that in the Bible. Because the Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My dear friend, no matter how vile you are, read the people of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6, how they practiced living before they were converted. And you'll never despair of anybody. And yet they were saved. And God made them into a mighty company, a great gifted company. So if you're sitting here tonight, you cannot make your excuse for not coming to Christ that of saying that you're too bad. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. That's the responsibility that every one of us has. Yes, there's a certainty here. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But the responsibility lies upon us to come. But let me add that not only must we come even though our knowledge is imperfect and not mature. We've got to come even though we consider ourselves too bad. But my dear friend, we've got to come promptly. We've got to come promptly. We've been reading and watching what has happened in China over the last week or two. With that earthquake that more than 60,000 people have lost their lives. And during the process of the after effects, people began to evacuate or take flooded areas. People will move to higher ground. They'll not dilly-dally. They'll move urgently. And the Bible warns us about the wrath to come. And we've got to flee from it. And your responsibility is to come with great urgency and come promptly now. Oh, come, sinner, come. Oh, why do you delay? The striking invitation is that you should come today. Tomorrow is no promise that it can offer you. Tomorrow is just eternity hidden from your view. Oh, come, sinner, come. Accept the proffered grace, for death may be calling you into its cold embrace. The summer will have ended. The harvest soon be past. Your lamentation then will be, my soul is lost at last. Because you delayed, and because you dilly-dallied with regard to your responsibility is to come. Very quickly, you come just as you are, without one plea, but that Christ's blood was shed for you, and that He bids you come to Him. The thing I want you to notice in these words are, what simplicity is here. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The simplicity lies in the word come. What does it mean? It's used often in the Bible. For instance, the Lord Jesus says in the next chapter here in John 7, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, in the very last chapter, chapter 22, verse 17, at least three times it says, come, come, let him that heareth say come, the Spirit say come, the bride say come, whosoever will may come, and let him that is athirst come and take of the water of life freely. It means to avail yourself of what God has provided. The story in Luke 14, where a man made a great supper and bade many, and he sent a servant out with these words, go and tell the people and say, come, for all things are now ready. So simple. And the word come is just another way of portraying saving faith. And that's called believe. That's called trust. That's called look. That's called receive. In fact, further on down in John chapter 6, it's called eating and drinking and believing. And it's all the same as coming. What a simplicity in the gospel. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His blood. You need to come. What a responsibility. What simplicity. The message is that the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross at Calvary as a sacrifice for sin by the shedding of His blood. He's the ransom price. To show that it's been accepted of God, God raised Him again the third day. The Lord Jesus is alive forevermore, and He bids people, urges people, invites people to come to Himself and says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the simplicity of it. Are you willing to come? Are you willing to follow through on your responsibility? That's where the key lies. As far as you're concerned, the key is not whether you were given to God or given to the Lord Jesus by God before the foundation of the world. As far as you're concerned, the whole focus, the whole brunt of this is, you have got to believe. Your responsibility is to come and trust the Savior. And if you don't, you'll be damned. If you do, well, let's see what will happen if you do. Notice verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a verity there is here. What a truth. What a fact. Very quickly, there are three parts to it. I will in no wise cast out. Number one, how encouraging this is. If He's not going to cast us out, that encourages us to come. If you wanted to go to a place, but you were told right away, you're not getting in, you'll be refused at the door, you would hardly come. But if there was a message said, come and welcome, you would go. You would be encouraged because there is no adverse circumstance saying that you would be turned away. And the Lord Jesus is saying here today to you to encourage you to come, I'll not cast you out. But it's stronger than that. Not only is this encouraging, but it's emphatic. He says, I will in no wise, on no account, if you come to me, will I cast you out. Read the story in the Bible of vile people who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were wonderfully converted. He took them in. This is emphatic. I will in no wise cast you out. And then lastly, it's enriching. If he will not cast us out, he'll be receiving us and taking us in. What will that mean? It'll mean that we'll be brought into his family. You remember how he spoke to Nicodemus about being born again, a new birth experience. You remember how in John 1, in the opening chapter of John's Gospel in John 1, it says, to as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, in God's family. Do you know what that means, according to Paul, writing in Romans 8? An heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Imagine that, a joint heir with the Son of God. And you know what else it means? It means that God will provide for us the rest of our lives on earth. You might say, well, I would love to come, but I don't think I could keep it. Keep what? We don't have to keep anything. It's God who does the keeping. Again, in this very Gospel, chapter 10, he says he gives unto his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and none shall pluck them out of my hand or his Father's hand. Secure. Of all that thou givest me, remember we read in John 18, I have lost none. Everlasting life. He'll save you. He'll forgive you for all your sins. He'll cleanse you in his atoning blood, his precious blood. He'll make you an heir of heaven, give you a mansion in glory, be with you through every minute of your day, whether you're awake or asleep. He'll be with you, standing guard over you, taking care of you, providing for you. And then whenever you come to breathe your last in this life, he'll receive you into everlasting habitations of glory in heaven. I will in no wise cast out. As we come to a close, you have a response to make tonight to all of this. And I ask you, what's it going to be? Are you going to come to him? I have to ask you what your response is. But I have to go further. I have to urge you to make the right response. And so I appeal to you now. I entreat you now. I beseech you. I exhort you. I long for you now that you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ now and take him up at his word. I will in no wise cast out. Let me tell you why I'm so strong in my urging of you. First of all, because he's waiting to receive you, waiting for you to come to him now. In the next place, it's the best response, coming to him, that you could ever make. And here's another reason. He's not always going to be around. He's not always going to be available to you. Remember what he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy young as a hen gathereth her young under her wings, and ye would not. If thou hadst known, at least in this thy day, the things that belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. The day will come when it might suit you, but he might never be anywhere near you. But if you have any concern in your soul tonight, then I urge you from this reason, act on it and come to him. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Don't delay. Come to him now. And remember, he'll not cast you out. It is your responsibility, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to him.